All right, we're going to pick up in verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Perilous means extremely dangerous, okay, fierce. Okay, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent. That means not restraining the passions or appetites. Fierce despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. Now, what could we describe in one word this person that was just described, the person of the last days? We just looked at all those traits of that person where it starts in verse 2, men shall be lovers of their own selves. What's one word we could use to define them? There's a bunch, but I'm thinking of one specifically. No. Selfish. No. These are all good. These are all right answers. It's just not the one I'm looking for right now. Rebellious. Rebellious. Yeah, absolutely proud person. I'm absolutely selfish. But what I'm looking for and what we're talking about is rebellious. They don't care what God says. It's about what I want, which is obviously pride. They're disobedient. They're unthankful. They're unholy. They don't have natural affection. Okay? They're truce breakers. They're false accusers. You know, they're rebellious. Okay? Verse 5, they have a form of godliness. There it is. There's the religion. See, religion's never going to be done away with. Religiosity will never be done away with. Oprah's religious. Okay, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. What? They deny the, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Okay? Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Get this, for of this sort are they which creep into houses. Here it is right here. And lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So where do they come and attack? Hey, come on. Help me out now. Let's go back to Genesis 3. Where did the attack start? Who? With Eve, with the woman. What did I say? I said that was Satan's what? I used two Latin words. Modus operandi. What does that mean? Mode of operation. This is how he's going to work. Okay, this if you see him do it, he's going to do it again. This is how Satan works. And what does he say right here? This know also in the last days, perilous times are going to come. Why? Because of this complete rebellion, rejection of God's word, this selfishness. Okay, for of this sort, so the sort that reject what God says, that are completely selfish, that it's all about me, here's what it says. They have a form of godliness, and of this sort are they which creep into houses, and what do? They lead captive silly women laden with sins. He's targeting you ladies right here. I'm telling you right now, every one of you ladies in here has a target on your back, and the devil's gunning for you. He's going to pit you against each other. He's going to pit you against your husband. He's going to pit you against your parents. He's going to pit you against your children. This is what Satan wants to do right now. He's looking to get you. He's coming after you. They creep into houses. Notice it's not just wide out in the open. They creep into houses. Yep. And others, the Jehovah's Witnesses are doing it today. Yeah. All right. All amen. All through TV. They creep into houses. And now what's the problem with all this stuff that we're looking at? Just the things that were mentioned. Alexander Campbell, Joel Osteen, Jehovah's Witnesses. What is it? They all have something in common. There's a bunch of things they got in common, but one foundational piece. Okay, Bible deniers, I'm thinking something a little bit different. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Maybe it's 1 Timothy. Sorry, 1 Timothy 3, verse 15. 1 Timothy 3:15. Look, here's where these silly women get all messed up. It says they lead captive silly women. You're a captive now. You're no longer free. What did Jesus say? John 14, 6, help me. Okay, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. That's not the one I wanted. So that's a good verse, but that's not the one I wanted. Okay, it's John 8, 31 and 32. 14, 6, right? Okay. That's a good one, though. All right. So if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know what? And the truth will do what? Make you free. And what's verse 32? Nobody remembers? Come on, help me out. No, is it? No, I don't think so. I'm messed up. That's 31. I got to go look at it now. That's verse 31. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Is it? I don't know. I got to look at it. You guys are messing me up today. It's that peanut butter you ate, brother. Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, there we go. Thank you. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Okay, so the freedom is found in the truth. Okay, it says that these women are led captive. Okay, they creep into houses and lead captive silly women. So what have they rejected then if they're led captive? The truth. They've rejected the truth. They're no longer following truth. Okay, so what do all these three groups that we mentioned have in common? Alexander Campbell, Jehovah's Witnesses, and Joel Osteen, or we could say just TV preachers out there in general, whatever it is. I want you guys to make the application of this, okay? I'm leading you right to it, but I want you to tell me, Brother Brad, you can't say anything, okay? I want you all to make, I'm picking on this side of the, I want this side of the auditorium to think this through. I want you guys are giving the answer. Nobody over there can give the answer. Somebody from here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. One of you needs to give the answer based on 1 Timothy chapter 3, 15. What do they, all those three groups have in common? So you guys read 1 Timothy 3, 15, and you tell me what they have in common. When, if you got it, if you know the answer, just raise your hand and we can hear it. Okay, my wife's got it. Let's see anybody else. Pay attention. You can get it. Just look at it. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. What is Alexander Campbell? He was the founder of the Church of Christ. They believe in baptismal regeneration. You have to be baptized to be saved. The Jehovah's Witnesses, okay, reject the deity of Jesus Christ. They reject the Bible. And then all these TV preachers, Joel Osteen, Creflo Dollar, whoever, doesn't matter, Billy Graham, I don't care who it is, just throw them all up there. What do they all three have in common? What's the thread of 1 Timothy 3:15? What is 1 Timothy 3:15 talking about? Okay, where? Okay, so what is that? Who said it? The church? Okay, so what is the church? What does it go on to say the church is?
Which is the church of the living God.
Keep going. The pillar and ground of the truth. So the church is what? Okay, these women are led captive, right? So they're no longer free. Where does freedom come from? John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. So they're captive. They're no longer free. Why? Because they're not following truth, right? Okay, so what is the common denominator based on 1 Timothy 3:15? The church is what? Read it. So what do all three of them have in common? What is it? False doctrine, okay. On what specifically? You guys in the back. Okay, they've left the truth. What have they left? God, what'd you say, Brianna? I think you said it. Say it again, I'm sorry. The church. Is that what you said? Yes, the church. They left the church. They are not a part of the church. That's what they have in common. They are not a part of the pillar and ground of the truth. Therefore, they can't stand on the pillar and ground of the truth. Therefore, they are going to be in error. So as we get back to looking at these ladies that are led captive, okay, they are not looking to the church, which is the pillar and ground of the truth. That's what it comes down to. Why? Because they're looking at Jehovah's Witnesses, which aren't a church. The Campbellites, same thing. The Church of Christ, they're not a church. Okay, and they came out of true churches, by the way. But when they left sound doctrine, they lost their candlestick. Okay? And then you look at all these TV preachers, they're all universal church. All of it out there. So why? They're not a part of the pillar and ground of the truth. Therefore, they lead captive these silly women. Why? Because these silly women aren't connected to the pillar and ground of the truth. So if we want to do any of our Christian work, any type of Christianity, serving God in any way, shape, or form, it must be connected to the pillar and ground of the truth.
Amen.
It must be. Or, what's the result? Apostasy. It'll start with the women being led captive, and the men aren't long at all to follow suit. How long did it take Adam? Not long. Right. I mean, we don't know exactly how much time passed, but I'm thinking it was like a couple minutes maybe. I mean, really, it doesn't take long. Look at Ahab. When we think Ahab, what's the next word we think? Jezebel. I mean, he started pouting about, I can't get this vineyard that I want. It belongs to Naboth. Well, it was unlawful for him to get it. So he goes home whining to his wife. His wife's like, what's the problem, honey? She's like, come here. Starts petting his head as he lays on her lap. She's like, it's okay, I'll take care of this. Has the man murdered. There, go get your vineyard. What was Solomon's downfall? Women. Silly women. Yep. Amen. David, come on. Now when we look, oh man, there's so much I can go off on. I'm not going to.
Go ahead.
All right, we're already here. We may as well. We may as well, right? All right, I'll save it for next week, I guess. You go to Revelation 17, it calls her a great whore. It's a false church. That's what it is. It's a false church, a great whore. You look at some of the parables. Let's go to Matthew, if I can find it here real quick. I mix up the parables. Go to Matthew real quick, and I'm going to look for what I want. What's that? Yeah. Is it 13? I thought so. That's where I was headed, but. Thank you. All right, now what is the kingdom of heaven? The church. What was that, babe? All right, the church, okay? The kingdom of heaven is the church. All right, verse 33, Matthew 13. Another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which, what happened here? A woman took it and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. So this woman took the leaven. Now, what is leaven a picture of in the Bible? It's always a picture of sin. It's never not a picture of sin. Never. It's never a picture of something good. It's always a picture of sin. This is why the Lord's Supper is with what? What type of bread? Unleavened bread. That's a picture of this body. There's supposed to be no sin in here. That's what it's picturing. We are Christ's body. There's to be no sin in here. Now you say, well, we're all sinners. Well, praise God, we can confess our sins, and He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Okay, but that's what we're to picture. We're to strive for that, that we are to be a pure body. Okay, so unleavened bread. So the kingdom of heaven, the church, here's what it's saying, is likened unto leaven, which who took it? A woman took and hid. See, these are they that creep into houses. See, it's subtly. That's how they do it, through subtlety. Now, let's go back to Genesis 3. Somebody help me. The serpent was what? More subtle than any beast of the field. There it is, subtlety. Okay, his MO, his modus operandi. All right, this is how he works. So, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. So what's it saying? The kingdom of heaven is what it's talking about. This woman brings in leaven. Well, what did Jesus say leaven was likened unto as well? Sin, okay, yeah, we already covered that, but what does he say? Leaven is false doctrine. False doctrine. Right. Which is their doctrine. Okay, so leaven is likened unto false doctrine. So the kingdom of heaven is likened unto leaven. We could say false doctrine, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal. So she takes it, this woman takes it and starts hiding it in the churches. False doctrine comes in. False doctrine comes in. And then what is it? What is it called? The I just said it earlier, but Revelation 17, a great whore, okay, is what the last days apostate church is going to be called, a great whore. And you've got all her children, okay, they're the same thing. They're like their mother, okay? So it's hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. So what does it do? Again, going back to the principle, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Okay, so that little leaven is going to leaven the whole thing. So what he's saying is, as at the end of things, my churches are going to be corrupt. Now, obviously, we know, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end, that the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. There's always going to be a true church, but as a whole, it's going to be corrupted. The churches are going to be corrupted. Now, let me ask you, what do we see here just in this city that we live? How many true churches do you all know of that stand on biblical doctrine? Honestly, how many do you know of? And I'm not trying to have some Elijah complex for us and think, oh, we're the only ones. No, that's not it at all. But how many do you know of? How many of them do we know that are apostate, that do reject the Bible, that don't stand on sound doctrine? Even those that say that they do, even those that carry the name Baptist, how many of them do we know? Man, I could list them off, just boom, 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 boom. I mean, just let's open the phone book and I'll just start going through it. My son used to be like, we'd drive past a church and I'd be like, that's not a good church. He'd be like, how do you know that? I'm like, because I see what their sign says. But it says Baptist. I'm like, yeah, but I see something else there. You know, there'll be something else listed on the sign. SBC. Well, what does that mean? Southern Baptist Convention. I mean, for the most part, anything out there is going to be, the whole is already leavened. This is where we're at. Churches have been corrupted. And it was a woman that took it and hid it. She brought the false doctrine. A woman. Let's go to Revelation 2 or 3. I got to find it. Is that it? Thank you. Yeah, we'll pick up in Revelation 2:18. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write. So is this a true church?
Yes.
Do they have a candlestick?
Yes.
Okay, that's what Jesus said over here, right? Verse chapter 1, verse 20, the mystery of the 7 stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the 7 golden candlesticks. The 7 stars are the angels of the 7 churches, and the 7 candlesticks which thou sawest are the 7 churches. So this is still a church. They still have their candlestick. Okay, and unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first, notwithstanding. So even though all of that, those are great things, God says, I've got something against you. I have a few things against thee. Because thou sufferest, or that means to allow. So because thou sufferest or allow that woman, what, that woman, Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess. So they allow this woman Jezebel, she calls herself a prophetess. What do they allow her to do? To teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. This is what this church is allowing. And my opinion, when it says that you allow her to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication, I believe it's speaking of spiritual idolatry. That's what I think that it's speaking of. I don't think it's physical fornication within the members of that church. I think it's talking about, and the Bible uses that language in other places as well. Fornication isn't always the actual physical act of it. It's many times speaking about spiritual adultery or idolatry, okay? That's what I believe it's talking about. Well, who brought this into this church? It was a woman, Jezebel. Well, where does all this take place? Let's go back to 1 Timothy. I'm sorry, 2 Timothy. It says, for of this sort are they which creep into where? Houses. So where does it take place? Where does it start? In the home. It starts in the house. It doesn't start here. Why wouldn't it start here? Let me put it like this. Why wouldn't it start here if you have a faithful pastor, a faithful shepherd, a faithful bishop? Why wouldn't it start here? What's that? Right, because it won't start here, because just like if a shepherd sees a wolf coming, what's he going to do? He's going to run it off, right? He's going to kill that thing if he has to. Okay, that's what is going to happen here. If you have a faithful bishop, a faithful overseer, a faithful pastor, which is a shepherd, he's going to kill that false doctrine if he sees it happening here. That's why it doesn't happen here. So how does it happen? How will it spread? How did Jezebel bring it in? She started teaching it. Well, where did she pick it up at? Well, if we look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6, these, you know, men that are lovers of their own selves, what did they do? They crept into houses. They started teaching it in the house. And through that, they led captive silly women. So these women were led captive. And now how do these women bring it in? How does leaven spread? How's it going to spread? Through what? Come on now, help me. Come up here, Court. Let me help me. I'm going to show you how it spreads. Come on up here. This is how it spreads, okay? And then you guys give me the Bible word for it. All right, I'm going to help you. Come on over here, right here. All right. So here's how it spreads, all right? You ready? What am I doing? Backbiting, okay? That's what the Bible calls it, right? Backbiting. Right, no. It's through backbiting, okay? Or what is that?
Gossip.
So we're going to tear somebody down over here. So that's how it happens. How does it get brought in here? The same way. Thank you. You can go sit down. That's how a church is destroyed. Right there through gossip. That's a leavenous cancer that will destroy any church. I don't care how strong it is. No church can withstand that. It'll destroy. It'll bring us all down. Where does it start? In the house. Amen. Correct. Right. Right. Well, we're going to get to that. We'll get to that. But we got to start here with this first, and then we're going to jump to that. But that's how it takes place. And then how does it perpetuate? Some of it might happen here, but it's not going to happen here. It's going to happen outside of here in the homes. That people are being torn down. They're being talked about. And it's a cancer that destroys. And it will destroy if you've ever seen it. How many girls' reputations have been ruined in middle school and high school? Because of gossip. Destroyed. I mean, I've known of girls that have left school and went to another school because their reputation was destroyed over gossip that wasn't even true. And we're not immune to it here in God's house either. So what do we have to do? We have to regulate ourselves. Amen. We have to discipline ourselves, as we've been talking about on Wednesday nights. We can't allow it to happen. When we hear it, we have to shut it down. When we hear, did you hear what so-and-so said? Like, oh, no, I didn't. Let's get them. That'll kill it right then and there. Let's bring them over here. Well, I heard that you said this about me. Well, who'd you hear that from? Go get them. Let's talk about it. And if it's true, be like, yes, that's true. I shouldn't have said that. And you be humble and apologize and say that was wicked and wrong of me. I shouldn't have done something like that. God forgive me. And thank them. Thank you for the Lord using you to bring my sin and helping me to get things right. That's the humility, that's the type of humility we need to have in this church, in this assembly, is that we're willing to do that. But when gossip gets brought up to you, be like, hey, I heard you said this about me. Or maybe you won't even say that. But if someone brings it to you, be like, well, you heard that. Well, let's get that person and let's deal with this. Let's bring it. Why are we doing things in the dark? That's how gossip happens. It happens in the dark. Why? It's not happening here, so to speak. And I'm not saying it doesn't, that it can't. But for the most part, it's not going to happen here. It's going to happen in the homes. That's where it's going to take place. In the dark, so to speak. Because if it was fine to be spoken about, we'd just speak it. And then it spreads like a cancer because it just... Oh. And then it destroys. And it slowly changes attitudes and opinions on things that aren't even factual. Maybe they might be, maybe they're not. But it begins to destroy. That's how Jezebel worked. She was teaching. It doesn't say she was, maybe she was, she probably was teaching in the church because it said you allow that, you suffers that woman to teach. Maybe she was teaching a ladies' class. It doesn't even say she was teaching all the men. Maybe she was just teaching the ladies. But whatever, it was spreading. It went farther and farther, and God said, you've done some good things, but you got a problem. Now, Brother Brad brought something up. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 3. Go to chapter 2. We'll pick up in verse 9. He brought something up, and what time do I finish normally? By 12, right? Is that right? It's 12, okay. Praise the Lord, I got 30 minutes still. So Brother Brad brought something up and he said, whose fault is it really? The man's, the husband's, the husband's. Now men, do we know our wives? Amen, we know what type of women they are. Let me ask, ladies, do you know your husbands? Do you know what type of man he is? Do you know what type of shortcomings he has? Yes, so men, the same applies for you. You know your wife's shortcomings, her failings. So if you know she's weak in an area, then you have to bolster her. You have to help her not be that way. That's what you have to do. So why did Brother Brad say, well, ultimately it's the man's fault? Where'd he get that from? Genesis what? 3, okay, what was said in Genesis 3? Turn there if you need to. Let's keep looking. Turn there if you need to. Genesis 3. 3:17. Okay, what does it say? You there, Court? Read it. No? Genesis, first book in the Bible. Okay, so the ground was cursed because of Adam, right? Isn't that what it says? Okay, so what happened to Eve, though? Did she get punishment on her? Okay, so how do we know Adam got the blame for all of it? You can't really find it in Genesis 3. It's kind of there, but we wouldn't know it unless we found it somewhere else. Where else do we find it? I might have already had you turn there. It is. First Timothy what there, Brother Russell? 1 Timothy 2. And there we go. Okay, so it's we know because of the New Testament that Adam got the blame for it. Okay, we can also know Romans 5:12. Wherefore is by one, what happened? And death by sin. Who got the blame? Wherefore is by one man. Okay, by one man sin entered into the world. So Eve's the one that took the fruit. She's the one that ate it first. Who got blamed? Adam. That's where Brother Brad got it from. Right here, we can see the same thing. 1 Timothy 2. Let's see, verse 14. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Okay, that it was mostly what I was looking at. I was mistaken there. Forgive me. Was Romans chapter 5, verse 12, okay? Now, we're going to look at what the woman, what happened with the woman right here. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Now, here we go. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. So how's the woman to learn? In silence, with what? All subjection. But I suffer not a woman, so I allow not, is what he's saying, right? Okay, but I suffer not a woman to do what? Over the man. It doesn't say she can't teach women. They're actually told that the older women are to teach the younger women, okay? But it says, I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. So a woman's not to have authority over the man. They're not to teach a man. Okay, so how does all this spread? Okay, through the woman just backbiting, okay? That's how it's going to spread. And I'm not saying every single time, but the great majority of the time, this is how it happens. This is what happens in churches. Okay, I've witnessed it. I've seen it on multiple occasions in multiple churches. Okay, I've seen it. But I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Okay, so the woman was deceived. She was the one in transgression. She wasn't in the truth. Women are more easily able to be deceived. That's why they creep into houses and go after the women. Adam received the blame. It rests on his shoulders. Man, it rests on your shoulders. If there's gossip going on within your home, and you have to stop it, you have to put an end to it. It's up to you. If within yourself, even, if you're gossiping, you have to stop it. You have to put an end to it. And thank God a godly wife can remind you, be like, hey, we shouldn't be doing that. And you can say, you're right. Thank you. Amen. But it's up to us to stop it. The ultimate authority rests with us. And now the reason, here's the reason why men don't lead their homes. Because they don't want to deal with the fallout of World War III when they stand, put their foot down, and tell their wife, no, that's not going to happen. Or their daughter, no, that's not going to happen. We're not doing it that way. They don't want to deal with it. That's why men don't lead their homes. Period. That's it. It's cowardice. I'm not saying it's easy. It's hard. I don't even like doing it. I don't want to do it. I mean, I've let things slide because I didn't want to deal with it. And finally, it's like, gets worse. I'm like, well, now I have to. Great. You know, you just kind of wait and hope. Maybe it'll fix itself. And you know it's not going to, but you lie to yourself. And you're like, it'll fix itself. It'll get better. And it just doesn't. It just gets worse. God will hold you accountable, man. Period. God will hold you accountable. We need, if we are to see revival, if we are to see a great moving of God, the Bible says that judgment must begin at the house of God. Amen. It has to start right here. We can't look out at the world and say the Sodomites are doing all this. It's the wicked politicians. Well, remember, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If we let the foundation of family be destroyed, what can the righteous do? It's not just that it's a man and a woman. It's the proper authority structure of a man and a woman. It's man, God, man, woman, child. That's the authority structure right there. That has to be kept in place. If that foundation is destroyed, what else should we expect? If there's no respect for authority in the home, if the wife doesn't respect the husband's authority, she's teaching every time. Women, don't ever get mad at your children if they disobey you, if you won't submit and obey your husband, period. You got no business to get mad at your children for disobeying you if you won't obey your husband. Amen. You say, well, but I don't agree with him. I don't want to do that. Well, you think your kids don't disagree with you and don't want to do that? You can't get mad at them. You're teaching them it's okay to rebel against authority. That's the exact thing you're teaching them. When you dishonor their father, you're teaching them to dishonor you and any authority.
Amen.
Any authority. This is the crux of why we complain about the millennials. I mean, that's what it comes down to. We've taught them, you don't have to listen to what I say. That's what it is. And it's not just the millennials. We pick on them because they're just the next generation that's at that stage of expecting everything and wanting it. But it was our generation right before that. Before that, it was the generation before that. And before that, it was the generation before that. It's that whatever 15 to 30-year-old, whatever it is, that just is selfish. It's always been. Now, I get it. Men will wax worse and worse. And it is getting worse and worse. But they're what we were.
Amen.
And we've allowed it. And it will fall on our shoulders, and we have got to start leading our homes. If we want to see true revival in this state, in this city, in this church, then it must begin at the house of God. It has to begin with us and us willing to make the hard decisions and go home and say, that's not happening anymore. We're not doing that anymore, and we are doing this. And man, you're going to have to, the battle's going to be on. I'm telling you right now, the battle will be on. But it's worth the fight.
Amen.
It's worth the fight. People don't believe me when I say this. I'm telling you, I know they don't believe me because they don't put it into practice. But when you begin to believe me, it's going to be too late. When you believe me, it'll be too late. It's hard enough. It's hard and difficult enough when you are trying. But if you don't want to get your home in order and start leading your home the way you're supposed to, you're damning your children to hell. Yep. Did you hear what Brother Brad said? And you're saying they're not worth it. You're telling your children you're not worth it. Anybody ever had a hard teacher, a hard coach that you didn't like? Anybody, raise your hand if you've ever had one of those. I've had multiples of those. You didn't even like them. You're like, this teacher's awful. This is like, you know, I got the mean teacher. Everyone in the school knows this is like the worst teacher that nobody wants, or the worst coach, whatever it is. They're hard on you. Nothing's easy. But in the end, when you're done, you look back and you say, man, I still don't like them. But I sure did learn a lot. And I respect them. And I'm thankful for everything that they taught me. You can do that. You can look back on that. Why? Because they did the hard things that most people don't want to do. And man, that's what we've got to do in our homes. You future husbands and you future dads, you've got to lead your homes. This is why America's falling where it's at, because dads don't lead their homes. That's it. We could blame the churches and, oh, the church isn't doing this, the church isn't doing that. Well, guess what churches are made up of? Dads. And judgment must begin at the house of God. We've got to get our homes in order. I'm telling you right now. Look, we're talking about, I'm supposed to be preaching on men being called to preach and looking at Jeremiah. We're going to get into that today. I guess I will save it for next week. But look, in that, he says, I've set you as a stone against them. I want you to be like an iron wall, a brass wall, a defense city. He says, I want you to be all of that and don't fear their faces. Why? Because you're going to have to say some hard things that people might not like. And that's what this is right now today. What I'm having to say is hard things that people might not like because it hits home. This is what's going on in our homes represented in this church. I don't like saying that. I don't even want to have to say that, but we have got to start leading our homes. Man, don't let your families miss church.
Amen.
Don't let them miss church just because. Man, if they're sick, that's one thing. I get it. Janessa's not here today. She's sick. She woke up throwing up. I'm not going to make her come to church, get everybody else sick. But just because they don't want to be here, don't let it happen. You say, but if I stand up against that, it's going to be World War III in my home. Amen. Maybe. Maybe. Yeah, I don't want to fight with my wife about that. I don't want to fight with my daughter about that. I don't want to fight with my son about that. You better. Or you're telling them, I don't care. I really don't care about you. It's okay if you go to hell. That's not what I'm saying. I wouldn't dare say that. You want to get mad at me? No, that is what you're saying. Your actions speak louder than your words. I'm telling you right now, if you don't want to be here, why should they? Why should they? You're telling them, what is the pillar and ground of the truth? Somebody help me out. What's the pillar and ground of the truth? The church, right? So if you say you don't have to be here, what are you telling them? You don't love truth. The thing that Jesus died for isn't important. That's what you're telling them. When you don't make your wife or your children come to church, you're telling them the thing Jesus died for isn't important. Truth isn't always fun, is it? It's not. You say, well, I can't make my wife come, but you can make your children. You can make your children. Some of you may think, maybe not, I don't know. But you might think we never had these battles. Oh, we did. We had a few Cold Wars. Never broke out in a nuclear war, right? But we had a few Cold Wars. Where, look, there's times when we first started coming to church that I would come and I would bring all of my children with me and my wife would stay home. Why? Because she didn't want to come. Now, I suppose I could have tied her up and dragged her and made her come. Amen. But that's foolish.
Amen.
So it's like, fine. You know I want you to come. Better than, let me back up one. You know God wants you to come. Amen. And I'm your head, and I want you to come. And you're choosing to rebel against me. Fine, but my children are coming. You say, but it's an inconvenience for me. I have little kids and all this. So did I. All my kids were little. Amen. All of them. We've been in church for 1 month when Isaiah was born. And I brought my kids to church with me if my wife didn't come. So don't act like it can't happen, like it can't be done. You can do it. Amen. Bring them. Teach your children, if nothing else, that church is important. Amen. Teach them. By your example, that it's important, that the institution that Jesus Christ died for is important. We say, oh, these aren't even churches out here. They don't even believe in the doctrine of Christ. Neither do you. If ye love me, keep my commandments. It's got to be important to us. It's got to be. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but so much the more as we see the day approaching. So much the more, not so much the less. So much the more. This is what our families need. This is what our country needs. This is where revival takes place. Judgment must begin at the house of God. It has to begin right here with us, looking to ourselves and saying, God, what am I doing wrong? Lord, search me, O God, and try me and see if there be any wicked way in me. Try me, God. Test me, show me. Reveal to me my own wicked heart. I mean, in the past months, me and my wife have had conversations. What are we doing wrong? What do we need to work on? Lord, show us. And just some real heart-to-hearts about how am I doing? Am I this? Am I that? Because it's not always easy to see it in yourselves. I get that. It's not. It's hard to see it in yourself sometimes. But we have to be willing to ask those questions. Now, I want to be clear as well. I'm not downing anyone that's not here because they have to work or something. Or you're sick. I'm not downing you for that. But if you're not at work and you can be here, be here.
Amen.
Amen. If you're not at work and you're not sick, be here. Be here. You might think that I just want this just for me. You just want people here. Well, I do want people here. But this is more for you than it is for me. This will help your family more than it will me. I've got to do the same thing with my family. I've got to make sure they're here. And I don't want to help to be the cause that my children may or may not be saved because of my example. Or wives, because of your example. Men, because you allowed it to happen. Children, you have zero excuse. Zero excuse. I bet half of you probably wouldn't be here. Maybe all of you wouldn't be here if you didn't have to be. I don't know. Would you be here if you didn't have to be? I mean, be honest with yourself. Don't answer out loud. But be honest with yourself, my children included. Would you be here if you didn't have to be? Because, I mean, I'm raising my kids on drugs. I'm telling you right now, I'm raising them on drugs. They're going to be drugged to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Amen. Wednesday night. I'm drugging my kids, okay? They don't have a choice. Amen. But they do have a heart choice. They can want to be here. It's all over your face when you don't want to be here. Amen. It takes the first song. I know in the first song if you want to be here or not.
Amen.
Everybody, not just the kids. Everybody, I know in the first song if you want to be here or not. Amen. You have a choice, kids. You might say, I have to be here. Well, you can want to be here too. Amen. You can check your heart and say, I want to be here. You young ones too. You young ones too. I get it. It's boring sometimes. I understand. You're like, this guy has been talking for 2 hours. I get it. It gets boring. I understand that as kids. I do. I remember being in church bored. Now, I went to a Catholic church. I didn't have some guy standing up yelling, screaming, spitting, all that. Okay, but it was boring. I get it. There's times it's boring here. I understand. But you can still want to be here. You can still want to fellowship with your friends. You can still look forward to the Bible lessons you get, some of the stuff here that you understand. I get it. You can be excited about that. Every one of us ought to want to be here. And if we don't want to be here, we should make ourselves come anyway because we have enough character to know that this is what's best for me.
Amen.
This is what I need. When I don't want to be here, man, I need to be here. More than any time ever, I need to be here now when I don't want to be. Amen. Judgment must begin at the house of God, and men, it starts with us. It's going to start with us. It'll start and end with us. God started with Adam, and he ended with Adam. This is your fault, buddy. You're to blame. Your wife was deceived. You weren't. You did it eyes wide open. Look, and our wives may be deceived. This is why it takes us. This is why they're not to teach, because they're more easily deceived. So this is why it takes us to say, no, we're not doing that. Uh-uh. Honey, we can't do that again. No, you let the kids do what? No, you can't do that. And just forgive her. Be like, it's all right, because I mean, I guarantee you've made a few mistakes. I mean, I haven't, but I know you guys have. You can laugh. It's a joke, man. All right, I've made two. Just kidding, all right. My wife's like, he's a liar. Just have some grace with her when she does mess up. Because you want her to have grace with you when you mess up. And don't bring it up a month later.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, I'm talking husbands. Don't bring it up a month later. Forgive your wife. The wives are like, yeah. Don't bring it up. Just let it go. And grow and learn. Talk to each other. Pray together.
Amen.
Pray together. That's a good one. It's got to begin with us. It's got to begin with us. And we have to answer the hard questions and be willing to honestly look at ourselves. Look at the mistakes we've made. Learn and grow from them. Kids, you got no excuse to be rebellious. You say, well, my mom is. You still got no excuse. You'll still answer to God for your own heart. You will. You got zero excuse. I know what I said earlier. Well, you said, well, if my mom doesn't obey my dad, she's just teaching me that. Yeah, that is what she's teaching you by her example. But you've got your own brain and you know what God expects of you. And that excuse won't fly when you stand before the Lord.
Amen.
She's going to say, yeah, your mom did do that, but you knew better. I taught you, I showed you, and you're going to give an account. You can't use that as an excuse. I've seen so many kids get out. We were just talking with some friends of ours from another church. And we're just talking about the fallout of kids when they hit 18, 19, 20. They're just poof, 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 gone. And one of them said, well, I think it's, there's hypocrisy in the home. That may be the case. But guess what? That's still no excuse for you to be rebellious to God. Even if that is the case. That's like the same thing as people saying, well, I don't go to church because of all those hypocrites. That's still no excuse. That's still no excuse for you. We have zero excuses before God. God's told us what He expects, and He expects us to do it. Our job is to do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. The husband is the head of the home, even as Christ is the head of the church. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. You know what that means, to love your wife as Christ loved the church? That means that you make her do things she doesn't want to do. Now, here's what it should be. She should be submissive enough and want to do those things. But love means, no, this is what you need to do for your own good. For your own good, this is what you need to do. That's what it means to love your wife as Christ loved the church. He gave himself for her. He sacrificed. He came here and did everything. He was a servant to her, to his church. He died so she could have life. Men, die to yourself and your fear of whatever fallout may come, and offer life to your wife through standing on the truth.
Amen.
Standing on the truth. Let's pray. Father.